Hi, everyone. I'm Mark Mulholland. Welcome to The Upbeat, a podcast about hope and perseverance from Kelly's Angels. On today's episode, I'm joined by an incredible public servant who is nothing short of extraordinary. For more than 52 years, Bob Blaze served as the mayor of the Village of Lake George, New York. When he left office in 2023, he did so as the longest serving mayor in the United States. Throughout his years in office, Mayor Blaze was a stalwart champion of local business, an unparalleled leader of community building initiatives, and a compassionate advocate for his constituents and for charitable causes that help children especially, organizations like Kelly's Angels. Thanks for being with us today, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Let's start in the beginning. It's a good place to start, as always. Not born in this area, born in Willimantic, lived in Holyoke, Willimantic area of Massachusetts, moved to Saratoga Springs at, 5 or 6 years old? How'd you end up around here?
My dad worked. My mother's uncles, the Brown brothers, owned Brown's Beach on Saratoga Lake, kind of a historical landmark in the town of Stillwater. And we had some cabins and houses there right next to Panza's restaurant. And a lot of good memories there at Saratoga Lake, but ended up then obviously going to Saratoga Springs High School, moving into the city of Saratoga on Nelson Avenue, about a block from the racetrack.
You were one of three children, right?
Correct.
Youngest?
I was the youngest.
By a long shot.
By a long shot, born 22 years after my oldest sister.
And were you ever referred to as the mistake?
Several times, and also it was strange because I was 6'4", ended up being 6'4". My mom was 5'10", and my father was 5'11". So my mom said the milkman.
There was some speculation.
Was tall.
Yeah.
So we had a good story about that.
So you start out on Saratoga Lake as a kid, and you started working almost right away. Your work ethic is unmatched. Was there ever a time you had fewer than two jobs?
I had several jobs several times. I had a shoeshine stand on Broadway, the corner of Broadway and Caroline Street during the Saratoga Springs summer season, and also was a lifeguard at Brown's Beach in the afternoon while the racetrack was running. Business wouldn't be that good on the main street in Saratoga. So my dad would pick me up and take me out to the beach, and I would be the lifeguard till about 6 o'clock, come back and open the shoeshine stand at night.
Lifeguard all day, then shoeshine at night.
Sure.
And you'd never been trained to be a lifeguard.
Never was trained to be a lifeguard at all. Just put the swim trunks on, sat in the boat with a white hat and looked like one.
And you had probably never been trained to be a shoeshine. So I guess the point I'm making is you're self-taught on a lot of this stuff, aren't you, Bob?
Well, you learn if you want to learn, and you do what you want to do, and you try to be the very best at it that you can. So, yeah, for many years, even right up to the time when I went to Lake George and they hired me as a police officer, I just put on a black tie and a white shirt, and they strapped a revolver on my hip. And I had never had a revolver in my hands, even.
You'd never held a gun
never.
Before the day that you became a police officer, sort of by chance, and now you're told, go out and police.
That's all. Just go out and direct traffic, of course, for a major part of your day, and then walk the streets, meet the people, answer questions, and then in the evening when all the crowds came to Lake George from the east side and Luzerne Road, stand on the street and make sure that everyone keeps the peace.
But we have to back up, though, because you ended up being raised in Saratoga Springs. You ended up being a standout athlete in Saratoga Springs. I think you were involved in student government probably at Saratoga Springs High School. You go off to Boston University. How'd you end up at BU?
I got a full scholarship at Boston University in basketball and baseball. And that was the only way that I was going to be able to afford to go to college. So I didn't really want to go to Boston. I didn't really want to go to a large school like Boston University, but the opportunity was there. The scholarship was there, and I took that opportunity.
And you did take that opportunity. And again, this podcast is about perseverance and hope. You didn't want to be there, but you certainly made the best of it. You excelled in student government. Tell me about your experience at BU.
Well, my memories are good. The folks that I met there, the university was a strong university, extremely large. The city was a college town, Boston. I think there's more colleges there per capita than any city in the United States. I joined a fraternity. Those became my closest friends at BU because there wasn't any real campus life or college life as you would know it. I had an automobile accident when I was in my senior year, which curtailed my sports activities. But in the fraternity, I became the youngest president when I was only a sophomore. I was president of each of my classes at Boston University, and I was man of the year in 1958 at Boston University. So I continued my extracurricular activities there.
I'm curious, just your nature, did you come by this naturally to be an organizer, to be a coalition builder, to be someone who likes to control things in such a way that for the greater good? How did you come by it naturally? Your mom and dad into that sort of thing, Bob? How did that
no,
happen?
No, not at all. I think when I was elected president of the freshman class at Saratoga Springs High School, and I was elected for all 4 years, I realized that being a leader had the responsibilities with it that I appreciated and I liked and I was honored. And I just enjoyed being a leader, someone that could organize things. You might say, yes, have control over things. I was always that same way right through high school, right through college. And even when I became in the business world, I was always a manager, a general manager, police chief, or whatever you want to call it, and then, of course, the mayor. So, I think I learned how to be that way.
There are some things beyond your control, including illness. You became critically ill with hepatitis while you were at BU. Correct?
While I was at BU, I came home and had contracted hepatitis out there. I was working at the Saratoga Springs bottling plant that is now the Auto Museum, and I was doing night watchman duty throughout the place, and I was there alone, and they found me one morning on the floor of the bottling plant, and they took me to the Saratoga Hospital. Dr. Rockwell was my doctor, and they diagnosed me with hepatitis, and I was out of work, obviously, for 5 weeks. And when I got
critical, though, yeah. I mean, that was a very serious diagnosis.
At the time, it was, yes. And I know my parents thought I was going to pass on. I was critical for maybe a week or so, not knowing where I was, but then came out, was fine, and got in the car and drove to Lake George for a job.
So that was after which year, and how did you end up going to Lake George? How did you ultimately end up going to Lake George?
Well, when I had worked at the Saratoga Spa State Park for 3 years during my summers at BU and high school. And when I got well and got out of the hospital in the middle of August, my job at the bottling plant was gone. They had to hire someone else. And I can't remember who I asked, but I said, I need to work. We didn't go back to college then until the middle of September. They said, well, they're always hiring in Lake George. Why don't you go to Lake George and find a job? So I did. I hopped in a car and went to Lake George, walked into the village hall, which was also the police station. Chief of police happened to be there. I asked them if they knew anyone was hiring in Lake George. And the chief of police turned around and said, how would you like a policeman's job?
Well, he looks at you. You stand 6'4", 6'5", and say, oh, that guy can be a police officer for me.
I suppose that's what he said. And I was more than happy. I always had a little bit of a yearning to be a police officer at that time anyway. And I became a summer, we called him a rent-a-cop at the time. And I worked there the next 2 years, 19... 19- 57 in 1958. And the sheriff happened to see me directing traffic one day, Sheriff Carl McCoy, and he offered me a job as a deputy sheriff. So when I came home from college, my junior year, between my junior and senior year, I was a deputy sheriff. And when I got out of college, my job in the insurance business was not quite ready yet. So I went back and worked as a full-time deputy sheriff.
So if that hadn't happened, if you hadn't run into the police chief and you hadn't struck up a relationship with the sheriff, you would be insurance agent Bob Blaze for the next 60 years?
I would probably have been an insurance adjuster, investigator, perhaps working out of Albany or Glens Falls with the Boston Old Colony Insurance Company or the Glens Falls Insurance Company at the time, yes.
So if it weren't for, I guess I'm always looking for the message, looking for the meaning in that. Do you think it's purely by chance, or do you think you would have ended up pursuing the path that you pursued anyway?
I think I still somehow would have found my way, even when I worked in Albany in the insurance business 5 days a week. During the summer, I drove to Lake George every night, and I worked as a police officer, actually a plainclothesman for the village police, even when I was working in Albany. So I always wanted to keep my roots, maintain my roots in Lake George. I just love the place. And I somehow knew that I was going to return. And then after only 2 years in the insurance business, the village of Lake George decided to hire a second person in their police department. And they hired me as a sergeant. And then I went back to Lake George and stayed there.
Well, we could talk all day, but I want to get to some of the things that are near and dear to your heart. I mentioned that you have a special place for children, children's charities in particular. One of your biggest accomplishments as mayor, and there are many, was when you came up with the idea to help the Ronald McDonald Charities start a cottage, a retreat, a getaway, a vacation home for children and families who are receiving treatment at the Albany Medical Center Hospital, something that helps them smile, something that helps them get away from the illness. It's called Krantz Cottage, and it's one of a kind. Tell us about that.
Well, my daughter and my granddaughter had been volunteering at the Ronald McDonald House in Albany for several years, and one day they invited me to come down and take a tour of the building. And when I took a tour and saw exactly what Ronald McDonald houses were all about, I was awestruck, carried away. And at the end of the tour, the lady who was the house manager at the time told me that she had a dream. And her dream was that someday Ronald McDonald House would open up a vacation home, not a home where the parents and the children would go while they're integrating with a hospital or ill or whatever, but a home perhaps where they'd go after an illness, perhaps after a death, and be able to recover and have some peace time with the rest of their families. A true vacation spot, not something—
To get away from the treatment, get away from the illness, exactly. Get away from the disease, and just be children and a family.
Exactly. And it just so happened at the time that our village attorney had informed me that he was moving from a home in the village of Lake George right off the main street. And the minute I heard that, I said, this is the place for that vacation home. That vacation home, if it's going to be the first in the world and the first in the country, of course, it has to be in Lake George. And so I called her up. We had a meeting and I said, I want you to come up and take a look at this house. The entire staff came up and they looked at this house, centrally located, one block from the main street, Shepherd Park, the lake, the beaches, everywhere that the family would not have to go far to find a true, beautiful vacation. And then we went and we visited with Marcia Krantz, who was the widow of the prior attorney who had been in that building. And Marcia, in her own generous way, said, how can we make it work? And so she made the price of the cottage something they could not refuse. And we brought together the Lake George community and said, let's turn this into a vacation home. Long story short, now it houses two families, one on the ground floor and one on the upper floor, completely furnished, both places. And I believe last year we entertained two families a week. They're there for 4 days, all expenses paid, including an automobile. And I think we entertained about 54 families
last
year. It's
beautiful. It's welcoming. There are volunteers there who are baking cookies when the family arrives. It's a wonderful experience. You must be proud of it.
Well, I think probably when people ask me, you know, what was your greatest accomplishment in 52 years, I have to say that was it. I used to say the Lakefront Walkway or the Visitor Center or Wood Park or one of those, but no. Well, when you see the faces on these families that come up, and I do greet some of them, and we have a nurse that lives a block away. We have people on duty all the time to help them out. Krantz Cottage is dear to my heart.
Anything children-related, as your friend, I'm proud to call you my friend, and as your friend, I know that you get emotional talking about children's charities and children's sort of activities that can benefit children. And I want to talk about how you are helping Kelly's Angels as well. We're going to take a break right now, but then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Kelly's Angels and how you have offered your talents and time and energy to this organization as well. We'll be right back on the Upbeat Podcast. Stay with us.
Support for Kelly's Angels comes from the students and faculty at South Glens Falls High School in upstate New York, who hold a 24-hour marathon dance each year to benefit local charities. Kelly's Angels is proud to be among the beneficiaries of the South High Marathon Dance. We are grateful for their generosity and kindness.
Six Flags Great Escape Lodge and Indoor Water Park, an Adirondack-themed lodge in Queensbury, New York, with a splash-filled water park that is always a tropical 82 degrees for a beach-like getaway any time of year. Learn more at sixflagsgreatescapelodge.com.
Support also comes from Stewart's Shops, an employee and family-owned convenience store chain serving eastern upstate New York and southwestern Vermont.
Welcome back to The Upbeat. I'm talking today with Bob Blaze, who served as mayor of the village of Lake George for more than 52 years. And before the break, we were talking about Krantz Cottage and his involvement with Ronald McDonald House, bringing a special retreat, a one-of-its-kind retreat, to the village of Lake George for families who are battling illness, children who are battling illness and being treated at the Albany Medical Center Hospital. Let's fast forward to the spring of 2023. You had just retired as mayor, and you had talked to me on several occasions about wanting to help Kelly's Angels, the charity that we started in memory of my late wife, Kelly, which helps children who've lost a parent to cancer and has since expanded to help children battling, families battling. We provide a lot of different types of help now. But you'd recently retired, and you said you had an idea for a fundraiser to help Kelly's Angels. You wanted to bring a festival to Lake George, music, crafts, entertainment, fireworks, drone show. You had the idea. We have an all-volunteer board. You are 80, you don't mind me saying how old you are. You're 86, going on 87 years old. You continue to be a dynamo. We put on this festival, and I should say you put on this festival, because you pull it all off, essentially. We helped a little bit, but you drive it. We called it the Kelly's Angels Summer Love and Fun Fest in Lake George. It was a huge success, and we're going to do it again. First of all, why did you want to do it, and what's your goal when you tackle things like this, Bob?
Well, I had done Rockin' for Ronald, which was a similar festival in August for 2 years prior to the time that I met you. And we had been very successful with raising around $40,000 or $45,000 in the 2 years with that festival. And what I found out was we have a lot of events in Lake George, a lot of events in the village, in the town, in Wood Park, and in Shepherd Park. And there's people from all over the world there that come and walk the streets. Many of those folks don't know what's going on that day in Shepherd Park. They maybe just came in that morning or the night before. And I found out that if you do something like we did with Ronald McDonald Charities, that people will migrate to that park for a great purpose. It's well known, obviously, national charity, and it made the park more meaningful. It made the bands, to me, better. It made the music sound better. And no admission. It was all strictly donations from start to finish. We did have a beer and wine tent. We had vendors that paid for spaces. I was able to get more vendors when I did a charitable event than when we just did a craft show, because they realized they were doing something to help someone else.
You feel good about it.
Yeah, they all. It was a good feeling. And to sit there and work the crowd, which we do, as you know, I like to be there the whole time, it gives you a feeling of accomplishment. Because Lake George Village, after all, is a family resort. And we cater to people of all ages. Krantz Cottage, that's what made Krantz Cottage the perfect place. Finally, we could say that we were truly America's family playground. So what better place to do events that help children than in Lake George, New York? And that's my opinion, of course. But people are finding out that, and the people in Lake George Village themselves also became more aware of they had something special there in the village that could become a tremendous asset to these two organizations, Kelly's Angels and Ronald McDonald. And I think it even brought the community closer together.
Your passion for Lake George comes through talking to you. Your passion for children comes through in conversing with you too. Where's that come from?
I have no idea. I have three children of my own. I'm very proud of them. I now have, I had six grandchildren. I now have three great-grandchildren that I just came back from visiting in Merle's Inlet, South Carolina. I love to be around children. I think it's true that it makes you feel younger, and you can also see something of them in you, and vice versa. I think that's important.
And you do. I've often chatted with you through the years, and you, I remember, you may not remember this, but there was a walk that was being put on in Lake George, and I connected with you at this walk. It was a charity walk, and I had my children with me, and Kelly had passed a short time before that, and you were moved by that. You made it a point, I don't know if you recall this or not, but you made it a point to come up to me at this walk. You wanted to meet Connor and McKenna, who are now on the board of Kelly's Angels. You wanted to make sure that they had something special at the restaurant. I think, as I recall, you bought them some candy or something that they were struck with. But that's stuck with me all these years later. I don't know if you recalled that or not, because that's just who you are. But I wanted you to know that made an impression on me and my children as well. They remember that.
Well, I remember being at the first fundraiser at the Logjam restaurant. I remember that. I don't particularly remember the second, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah. I mean, that's the type of impact that you've had on a lot of people for a long time in upstate New York, Bob, and we're grateful for that. So the Summer Love and Fun Fest, we're going to do that again this year.
We are. We're going to do it in July. I think the dates are the 17th, 18th, and 19th. We're going to start off on Thursday evening, which is a big night in Lake George when we usually do a fireworks show. But we're going to bring back probably what was the most spectacular night in Lake George when we had the first ever drone show. And we're going to bring that back on Thursday evening, the opening of Kelly's Angels Summer Love and Fun Fest. And then two big bands every single evening. About 40, 45 crafters in Shepherd Park, food and wine, food wagons, a great, great event to come on up and spend a day or two. And of course, it can be all free if that's what you wish. But it's all to support Kelly's Angels.
How do you do it? I mentioned that you're going to be 87 on Independence Day. Right? 4th of July is your birthday.
4th of July.
How do you stay so young? How do you stay so energetic?
Doing exactly what I'm doing now, being down here talking to you, and also staying active. I took on, after I, as you may know, after I retired as mayor, I took on being the special events director for Warren County, the town and village of Lake George. And this year, we'll have planned 82 special events in Lake George. And I take them from the beginning to the end. I try to help them organize. I book them. I take them through getting grants, if possible, introduce them to the area, get them rooms, do whatever I can do, along with the Chamber of Commerce, and we have a good one in Lake George. We've booked Wood Park this year, as you know, almost solid, with a very vast variety of events, and that's close to my heart as well.
I think this bears underscoring that you're not just coming up with the ideas. You follow through every step of the way. You make the phone calls. You meet people. You organize the meetings. You make the connections. You follow through. It's not just an idea that you come up with.
Well, everything in this world begins as an idea, but only the good ideas are still around to talk about them, and only the ones that people develop in a manner that other people appreciate work, and that's what you have to do. You know, if you do an event in Lake George, no matter what type of an event it is, and someone comes up, it's the same like opening up a new restaurant. If they aren't treated well the first time, if they don't enjoy it, they're never coming back. And we're proud that Lake George has a return of about 82.5% of our visitors come back to Lake George again. And I believe that one of the great, besides the lake, which obviously is our most important asset, I believe that our special events are what brings a great majority of people back to Lake George.
We've gotten off topic a little bit because this is a podcast about hope and perseverance, but I want to get back to that because in 52 plus years as mayor of the village of Lake George, it's not all smiles. It's not all openings of business and greeting smiling visitors. There have been some dark days, one of which comes to mind was that day in October of 2005 when a tour boat of visitors from the Midwest, Michigan and Ohio, as I recall,
right outside of Detroit,
collapsed on or overturned, capsized on Lake George. It was called the Ethan Allen. Where were you when that happened?
I was actually playing golf at the Thousand Acres golf course in Stony Creek with Bill Dow, the owner of the Lake George Steamboat Company. And we saw a golf cart coming towards us at a great rate of speed, and they're yelling Bill Dow's name. And the young man said, Mr. Dow, one of your boats is capsized on Lake George. And so I put Bill in my car, and we drove to Lake George as quickly as we could. And when we turned the corner of the beach road, all of Mr. Dow's boats were at the dock. And we turned to the left, and the other company, the Shoreline Boat Company, it was one of their small boats, the Ethan Allen. And that's how we learned about it.
What happened from then, Mayor?
There was a recovery efforts in progress up on Route 9N, and I just felt that I had to be up there to make sure that everything was being done properly, even though it was by the sheriff. And when we got there, we saw 20 bodies laying on the lawn of this private residence, and it was a devastating experience. We knew that, it would make national news. It was the largest, I think, single boat accident at the time in New York State. And it would be Lake George, and it would be bad news. And so then we just made an effort to try to make something good, I guess, for all the families and their friends and everything else. And we contacted all the relatives, and we hosted the families. And a year from that date, we funded a memorial on the lake at the foot of Amherst Street with all their names on it. We did a ceremony, a church services procession. The mayor of that community came to Lake George, and we hosted the families and their relatives, some of the survivors for a weekend in Lake George.
You rolled out the red carpet for them.
We tried to do the best we could. And some of those survivors, numbering one or two, are still coming back to Lake George. And we, the 10th anniversary, we did another ceremony because we wanted them to know how important it was. They were part of a tour bus group that came to town. And we wanted them to know that we still care and we still think about them.
Let's finish off by, I think you have so much to offer. You've gained so much knowledge through your own personal experience for all these years. What is your advice to people who might be facing challenges? What life advice do you have for people who might need to hear a message of perseverance?
Well, I'm also a cancer survivor. And the day that I learned that that I had cancer, they wanted me to come into the hospital. They had a counselor there, and he was able to explain to me exactly what was ahead of me the next months or so, and so on. But I think you always have to try to look at the good, the silver lining. What's going to come out of this that I can make good? What out of this adversity, what can we do to make people smile rather than feel bad or feel sorry for themselves or do whatever? So I have this saying that I've used, take a good smell of the flowers because you're not going down that path again. And that's what I feel everyone should do, no matter what adversity they have. Smell the flowers. They're good.
I love it. I love it, Bob. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining me today and for all that you've done and continue to do for Lake George, the Capital Region, children and families, especially those children and families that are helped by Kelly's Angels. You've made a tremendous difference in a lot of lives, including my own, including people who are listening. And we can't thank you enough. Thank you. It seems not enough. Thank you for spending some time with us today. And thank you for helping Kelly's Angels.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode and also leave us a 5-star review. I'm Mark Mulholland. Until next time, stay on The Upbeat.
If you enjoy The Upbeat, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have topics you'd like us to cover on The Upbeat, please send your ideas to theupbeatpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of the volunteer board of Kelly's Angels and the families we help who are facing life-threatening conditions, thank you for listening to The Upbeat.
Nice job, McKenna Rose.
Thanks, Dad. You too.